In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not called to be a prophet. They don't have it easy. In the Bible, we see, or at least scholars have seen, what's called the prophetic call narrative. That whenever God calls someone to be a prophet, there's kind of a few stages that they go through. God issues the call, and the person called offers up some excuse why they can't be them. And then God overcomes that excuse, and they end up a prophet anyway. You're not going to argue with God. If God calls you to be a prophet, you're going to be a prophet. You may not like it, but it's going to happen. Certainly, Jonah, for example, didn't like it. He ran the other way rather than to be a prophet to Nineveh. And we remember what happened to him, spending a few days inside a great fish. Not the best way to spend a weekend. When Jeremiah is called, he makes the excuse, I'm only a boy. I don't know what I'm saying. God doesn't take that as an excuse. He puts his words in his mouth. Jeremiah describes as taking his hand and touching his lips. When Moses was called to be a prophet to the people down in Egypt, he said, I can't do it. I stutter. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And God said, well, take Aaron with you. He likes to talk. Let him do the talking. There's no backing out of the call to be a prophet, so I'm just rather glad I wasn't called to be one. I'm called to be a priest, which is a different kind of thing. So I'm much more comfortable with our reading from 1 Corinthians, for example, here, talking about love. That's something I can do, and I love talking about. I almost hate the fact that 1 Corinthians 13 has a name, the love chapter. It's almost become a cliche. We hear it when we go to weddings. We see it on greeting cards. We see it on things painted you hang on your wall. And it's a lovely bit of writing. But all of that familiarity has the danger of breeding contempt. We don't really read it and hear what it says. But it is, in a way, a call to prophesy, to speak for God, to speak as God speaks. 1 John teaches us that God is love. And here in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us what love is. And contrasted with all kind of things that we generally think of as being pretty good. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, that'd be pretty awesome to be able to talk like an angel. I mean, when God has something important to say to prophets and others, he sends an angel and they are fierce. The first words out of their mouth are, fear not. They have to reassure the people. They're not going to strike them dead right then. That'd be pretty awesome. You go up to people and the first thing they do is cower before you. They'd probably get old, I imagine, but if you don't have love, you might as well just be banging on the head of a garbage can. It's a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. And if you do have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, something that would not be too bad to have. It means nothing without love. I mean, I like having knowledge and understanding of things. My background is in math and science and taking things apart and figuring out how God put the world together. And I want to know and understand things. I have chemistry and physics textbooks in my office that I read for fun. That's how big a geek I am, that I want to know about stuff. And yet, without love, all understanding means nothing. And he goes on to describe, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. Or you know the words, you've heard them over and over. Recently, a parishioner posted on Facebook the idea of I don't remember the exact context, but basically if your daughter is trying to decide if she likes a guy, put his name in here instead of love and see if it fits. Mark is patient, Mark is kind, Mark is not envious. If it fits, then you found someone good. And I say, playing off of that, we should put the I pronoun in there. Are we able to say that I am patient? I am kind. I'm not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. That's the type of life we should strive for. That we should be that kind of person. The problem the people in Nazareth had was that they figured they had Jesus all sorted out. They knew exactly who he was. They knew his father was a carpenter. They had seen him grow up. They knew all about him. They had him pegged. And so no matter what wonderful things he might say, in the moment they think, oh, that's awesome. That sounds really good. But then someone brings up, yeah, but, you know, he's Joseph's son. How could he know anything? And they turn in an instant. They go from saying his words are gracious till let's throw them off a cliff. The world is fickle that way. When we think that we've got it all figured out, then we can be pretty sure we're wrong. We can't put God in a box, as people say. When we think that we have the infinite God all sorted out, and we know exactly what God is like and what God does and what God wants in every possible circumstance, then we're right on the verge of heresy. We can't reach the unfathomable depths of God. And that is a good thing. We spend our mortal lives seeking after God. And God has revealed to us what we can handle. In Jesus Christ, we have the fullest revelation of God, of what God is like. And yet, we still can't grasp it all. And we only kid ourselves if we think that we have. Oh yeah, we got this God thing all figured out. No, we don't. One of the great challenges, and yet great joys, in my marriage at any rate, is learning Erica. We've been together since the last century. And yet, she still surprises me. There's still depths to her that I'm learning. And hopefully there's some depth to me that she learns, although I'm not so certain about that. But getting to know her more and more every day. And don't think it's in a bad way. She's just a person. Imagine God. In our that in our relationship with God, God invites us to know God more and more, draws us in to explore the depths of what it means to have a God who identifies as love, a God who is patient and kind and all these other things that we read about, all those things that make the best of human beings. God is by nature. We can only seek after and strive for. So God may not have called any one of us to be a prophet. God may never take a burning coal and touch it to our lips in our protest that we don't have clean lips. He has to burn it through. God may never touch your mouth and put words into them. But God calls each and every one of us to love one another and to love God. And Paul makes it very clear what that looks like, that we be patient and kind and understanding and all those other things that we want other people to be for us. And so we need to be willing for them, because we all need to receive love, and we all need to give it. Love is of God. And no matter what area we may be called to, priest or prophet or what have you, we are all called to love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.